for listening to Africa News Tonight.
Stand up! Stand up! Stand up! Stand up!
Friends, we can all listen to the Sunny Side of Sports.
Great show, bro. This is Sunny Side of Sports.
Right here on the Voice of America.
Voice of America!
Sporty greetings, Voice of America listeners. This is VOA Sunny Young in Washington. Welcome to the December 7th edition of the Sunny Side of Sports. Coming up on Thursday's show, we'll hear from the founder and captain of Howard University's women's rugby team.
When I started playing rugby, I literally felt like I was at home. I played sports my whole life. I've been a swimmer. I played elite sports my whole life. But I never felt as home as I do when I'm on the rugby field.
That's Tukunda Rasike, who has family ties to Zimbabwe. Also, I'll chat with VOA's Mukbil Yabaro about Wednesday's English Premier League football highlights. And let's tip off with a belated Sunny Side of Sports birthday salute for Milwaukee Bucks basketball star Giannis Antetokounmpo. The two-time NBA Most Valuable Player celebrated his 29th birthday on Wednesday. Giannis was born and raised in Athens, Greece, the son of Nigerian parents. He's currently in Las Vegas, Nevada for an NBA in-season tournament semifinal Thursday evening against the Indiana Pacers. In the second semifinal on Thursday, the New Orleans Pelicans will play the Los Angeles Lakers. Giannis and the Bucks have won all five of their games in the in-season tournament. He says the Bucks are coming together nicely following the acquisition of Damian Lillard.
I've said this, game by game, we're getting more comfortable with one another. We know our spots. We know each other's strength. And game by game, we're still figuring it out what people can do.
Here in Washington, Cameroonian basketball star Joel Embiid fired in a season-high 50 points to lead the Philadelphia 76ers to a 131-126 victory over the Washington Wizards. Talk to us, Joel!
That was one of those nights where I really had to be aggressive and get it going. So, and they made passes, they made the right plays, you know, every single time, and I just finished them.
Joel Embiid also finished with 13 rebounds and 7 assists as Philadelphia won its 13th game of the season. Philly has 7 losses. Now, the Wizards have been woeful through 20 games. They have a record of 3 wins and 17 losses. Memphis Grizzlies point guard Desmond Bane also had a big scoring night. He tallied 49 points as Memphis beat the host Detroit Pistons 116-102. It was the 18th consecutive loss for the Pistons. The losing streak is the longest in one season in club history. The 9 other winners in the NBA Wednesday night were Cleveland, Minnesota, Brooklyn, Miami, Houston, Chicago, Dallas, Golden State, and the Los Angeles Clippers.
Sporty greetings. This is Masai Ujiri, the president of Toronto Raptors Basketball, president of Giants of Africa Foundation. You are listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on the Voice of America.
English Premier League football. 6 matches on Wednesday. Brighton, Bournemouth, Fulham, Liverpool, Aston Villa, and Manchester United all scored victories. Joining me now for some EPL insights is my VOA colleague, Mukbil Yabaro. Sporty greetings, Mukbil.
Sporty greetings, Sonny. What's going on?
Mukbil, let's begin with Fulham. The Nigerian striker, Alex Iwobi, with 2 goals for Fulham. And I would imagine, Mukbil, we're going to see Iwobi next month in Ivory Coast, suiting up for the Super Eagles at the Africa Cup of Nations.
Oh, I definitely would agree with you, Sonny. Fulham really had to put it on Nottingham Forest. 5-0 is not easy to do against any team in the English Premier League. But, you know, coming off of that their very last game. They probably expected a different result from that Liverpool game. You know, 4-3. At one point, they were up 3-2 very late in the game, about 80th minute. So they not only let the win slip away, they let the draw slip away and ended up losing coming out of that game that they played relatively well, with absolutely nothing to show for it. So, they had to come back, and this to me looked like this was a type of game where they were trying to assert their dominance, on a team that really is not that far off from them. At the moment, they are in, 12th position. And Nottingham Forest is in the 16th position with 16 points. If Nottingham Forest would have won, they would have had 19 points and would have been above Fulham, because at that point, Fulham would have only had 18 points. So these are two teams that are relatively in that same lower to middle of the pack. And, you know, they really came out and showed them that we are not going to allow you to take any points from us. We're taking it all. So, yeah, they really came out to play.
Mukbil, let's give more Sunny Side of Sports acknowledgement for another African player who got on the score sheet Wednesday, Brian Mbeumo of Brentford. He scored on a penalty kick in the first half. Brentford lost that game 2-1. I know you've mentioned Mbeumo in the past, Mukbil. I think another player I think we're going to see at the Nations Cup.
Brian Mbeumo is going to be playing for the Cameroonian national team. And as you mentioned, he put his team ahead against Brighton. Brighton is one of those teams right now that is and has been a problem for everybody across the board. Towards the beginning of the season, they were hovering in that top four spot. Have kind of dropped down a bit, but they are currently in the eighth spot. You know, Brentford really tried to do what they could to try to get it done against them, having scored initially in the 27th minute because of, like you mentioned, the PK from Mbeumo. But, you know, the way that this team presses you, it's very difficult for you to stay, stay afloat, really. And they were able to score and equalize within the 31st minute, went into full halftime draw, and were able to just get ahead by the 52nd minute to secure that 2-1 much-needed win for Brighton as well. So, yeah, Mbeumo, shout-out to Mbeumo for the goal. Always love seeing African players making impacts on their teams. Hopefully he's able to do a little bit more for the Cameroonian side in AFCON to push them through in some of their group stage games.
Mukbil, a result that I know caught your eye on Wednesday. Aston Villa defeats defending champion Man City 1-0. The Jamaican Leon Bailey with a 74th minute goal for Aston Villa. Your thoughts on this match, Mukbil?
Sonny, I was watching this game, and to be quite honest with you, this game's result is not even indicative of what this game truly looked like. Man City looked like a sliver, or not even a sliver, a shell of what they normally look like to teams. This conversation we had earlier on this week when I was talking about how Man City used to be somewhat of the boogeyman whenever they play these teams. Teams fear them so much so that they act very different and don't stick to their usual plan. Aston Villa couldn't have been more different. Just look at the discrepancy in the shots. Aston Villa had 22 shots and Man City had 2 shots. Not 12, Sonny. Not 8. Not 15. 2 shots for Man City. You know, City had more ball possession, but what does that mean? Ball possession without shooting the ball just means you're keeping the ball away from the other team. There's nothing that you're doing with it positively. And sometimes, unfortunately, this tiki-taka Spain type of football that everybody has come to love with Barcelona when not implemented correctly, looks exactly like this. A whole bunch of ball possession and nothing to show for it. Aston Villa had 7 shots on target to the 2 shots on target that Man City had. And outside of that, fouls were relatively equal. And here's another key thing, too. Aston Villa had 6 corners. Man City played an entire game with no corners, Sonny. This was a very, very poor showing of Man City. They were able to withstand Aston Villa up until that point. And if they would have came out of it with a draw, they would have been elated. It would have been somewhat of a consolation win type of game for them because of how poorly they played. This is their 4th game in the EPL where they have not won, 3 draws coming into it. And this is their first loss in that 4 game stretch. They are not looking like themselves. And, you know, Pep, unfortunately, is putting more pressure on his guys by saying that, you know, regardless of what we look like now, we will win this league. And I think a part of that is him trying to boost his guys back up because of the situation they happen to be in with injuries and just not playing to their potential. But what that also does is it really rejuvenates and reinvigorates the other teams that are just sick and tired of Man City dominating this league for 3 straight seasons, and every single team that plays them is playing them like it is a championship game. Aston Villa is a team to be watched, Sonny. Very, very scary team.
McBill, a result that brought a big smile to the face of our VOA colleague, Gwen Ooten. Liverpool 2, Sheffield United 0. Liverpool goes on the road and gets goals from Van Dijk, and I might need some help with the pronunciation on this one, McBill, the Hungarian Szoboszlai.
Yeah,
Szoboszlai with the second goal for Liverpool. Your thoughts on that match?
Ah, Sonny, this is another tough one. Sheffield United, you know, what can I say? You know, they tried their very best. Liverpool is currently sitting at the 2nd spot in the English Premier League. You're going up against a team that really, if you really look at it, unfortunately, they are at the very, very bottom of the league at the moment in that 20th slot, looking like if they are unable to pick up more points or aren't able to get out of this slump, they are in that relegation zone. So I can definitely feel for them. They tried their very best. They played a decent game, but Liverpool was in complete control in this game. 76% ball possession in comparison to 24%, but that ball possession had meaning. You know, unlike the City game that we're just discussing right now, 15 shots, about 8 shots on target, were able to make 2 of those count. In comparison to Sheffield having only 6 shots, but only 1 shot on target. To put that into perspective, Sheffield still played they were trying to attack Liverpool, unlike Man City's game where they only had 2 shots on target, which were the only 2 shots they took, period. Sheffield tried. Van Dijk scored a really, really good, lob from a corner kick. It kind of was a little bit of a mishap or a miscommunication from the Sheffield side, where they just looked kind of wide open. He was open by himself and kind of just really caught it at the perfect bounce. It was really, really a stellar goal from the captain. And then they kept pressing, and you know, we're able to then score on that go ahead from Szoboszlai in the 94th minute. Liverpool and Arsenal alike have, if I'm not mistaken, I believe are tied or are the top 2 teams this season who have scored in extra time. So yeah, kudos to Liverpool and Gwen and Sunday Shamari is also a Liverpool fan. Another one of our colleagues will give a shout out to him as well. So
Forget Sunday. Can't forget Sunday Shamari.
Right. He won't lecture.
Well, McBill, let's give another Sunny Side of Sports salute to the Scottish player Scott McTominay. He had both goals for Manchester United in their 2-1 victory over Chelsea. Your thoughts on that game?
He has turned out to be the most, I won't say the most, but one of the most consistent players for this Man United side that unfortunately has not figured out what and who their identity is just yet in this season. McTominay really came out and scored the first goal that put them ahead, and then Cole Palmer was able to tie it up. Former Man City player Cole Palmer, who now has taken the reins of this Chelsea side, was able to level it up. I think they would have been comfortable with a draw because United was all over them. So after that, they just kept pressing. It's a very interesting stat. Manchester United had 28 shots, Sonny. 28 shots. That is a long day in the office for any goalie, right?
That's for sure. Right. Busy day in the office.
Very, very busy day. So for them to only have scored 2 goals out of 28, could say something about their percentage, but it also just could mean that, you know, Chelsea all in all was just trying to see if they could park the bus and make things work and pull off that much needed draw, because it was in their best interest to pull off that draw. United was attacking them continually and ferociously in this game. So anything outside of a win for United would have been an absolute loss. And McTominay was able to come through for them in the 69th minute. Solid win for United. And I know our colleague, Mike Hove, will be very pleased with that result.
He loves those Red Devils, doesn't he, McBill?
Absolutely. He absolutely does.
Well, the one match we have not mentioned yet, McBill, Bournemouth score a road victory over Crystal Palace 2-0. Any thoughts on that game?
Bournemouth is a relatively interesting team, simply because they're not all the way at the bottom, but they're in that middle pack, and they can kind of make their move if need be. Interestingly enough, they are right there with Crystal Palace. They are in the 15th position. Crystal Palace is in the 14th position. So I think for them, it was all about how can we just get some more points. Now, at the moment, both teams are tied. If Crystal Palace would have got the victory, Crystal Palace would have had 19 points, and it would have jumped them to potentially that 10th spot where Chelsea is. So it just goes to show you how jumbled up that middle of the pack really is. All it takes is one win for you to go from either the ninth spot to all the way down to the 15th spot. It is very, very scary territory there. So big win for Bournemouth to be able to kind of push themselves outside of that relegation zone and give themselves a comfortable distance between them and Everton at the moment, that are tied with Burnley in that 18th, 19th spot.
Finally, McBill, we'll let you give a shout-out for your beloved Gunners of Arsenal at the top of the Premier League table. On Tuesday, they scored a thrilling 4-3 road victory over Luton. Declan Rice getting the game winner on a last-gasp header. Your reaction to the Gunners, McBill?
Sonny, my reaction now is I can speak about it and sound, you know, coherent and sound, you know, normal and assess the game from an analytical standpoint. But man, when I tell you, when I was watching that game, I could not breathe. It was very action packed. But as I mentioned earlier on in the week, when your team is the one going back and forth, it's not as much fun, you know. If you're just watching it as a standby fan who's just enjoying the game. Yeah, it was a thriller of a game. Never would I have thought that Arsenal would be in a back-and-forth, tit-for-tat type of game with Luton Town. And credit to Luton Town. First ever opportunity to play in the Premier League. Coming out really making it very difficult for a lot of top teams. Kudos to them. I really do feel for them at the end of it all, to not be able to come out of that with anything. But as a Gunner fan, I'm glad Declan Rice was able to solidify that. And then it really does show championship pedigree that you can be in that position and down 3-2 in the, I believe, 54th minute. And then Kai Havertz ties it up for us. And then Arsenal's able to, you know, dig deep and just find a way. Sometimes it's not about how pretty the win is. It's all about, can you get it done? And if we're just looking at stats, to just put into perspective how precise Luton Town were. Luton Town only took six shots, Sonny. Only took six shots. They had four shots on target. Of the four that they had on target, three of them went in. 75% of, you know, that's a ridiculous percentage. We, on the other hand, had 23 shots and 9 shots on target. Of the 9, we scored 4. On any given day, that's a very good percentage as well. But just in comparison to what Luton was getting done, Luton just were just so much more efficient from inside the box. Passing accuracy and, you know, possession. Possession was 67% for us to 33%. And I'll go back to saying this. Similarly, our manager, Arteta, plays a very similar style to Man City and Pep's style as well. And I could also make an argument and say that, hey, 67% ball possession doesn't mean anything if we're not attacking. And luckily for us, we have 23 shots to show for it. If we would have had 67% with 2 shots, this would be a completely different conversation. So, yeah, ball possession is important when that ball possession is leading to things offensively and attacking for the team. Other than that, it's just keeping the ball away from the opposition.
Talking English Premier League football with Mukbil Yabaro. Thanks, Mukbil.
Thanks for having me, Sonny.
Want to relax, unwind, or charge up? Then listen to Music Time in Africa this weekend. It'll do all that for you and more. I'm Heather Maxwell. I know good music. And Africa is my passion. Join me every Saturday and Sunday for 1 hour of commercial-free Pan-African music of the highest caliber. You get great music, music news, and amazing artist interviews from rising stars to superstars. This listen will take you places. So do it. Join me for Music Time in Africa, your weekend destination.
Your sporty destination right now is the Sunny Side of Sports on the Voice of America. Rugby is an international sport that is quickly growing here in the United States. In this special report for the Sunny Side of Sports, Jordan Smith introduces us to the founder and captain of Howard University's women's rugby team. Sporty greetings, Jordan.
Sporty greetings, Sonny. Tukunda Rusike has always been an ambitious athlete. Now, you could call her an all-arounder, but she excels at nearly every sport she plays. Rugby, however, Rusike says, is in her blood. She grew up surrounded by her rugby-loving family who came to the United States from Zimbabwe. But as a first-generation American, Rusike found few opportunities for girls like her to play.
I was always exposed to it, but I always noticed, especially like when I was younger until I got to like high school, it really wasn't like offered for girls until I was in high school. So that's when I only started playing, when I was like, you know, that late sophomore, early junior year high school type thing, because it really wasn't offered until I was older.
At the age of 17, Rusike discovered the beauty and the intensity of rugby.
When I started playing rugby, I literally felt like I was at home. I played sports my whole life. I've been a swimmer. I played elite sports my whole life. Been a swimmer, played basketball, track. I went to states for track. I was varsity track captain in high school. I loved it. But there was nothing. I never felt as home as I do when I'm on the rugby field. When I would play rugby, it was like everything would just make sense. I would never have anxiety going to rugby practice. The way when I go to basketball practice, track practice, there would be times where I didn't want to go. I wasn't excited, but I was always so excited to go to rugby.
That same excitement motivated Rusike to start a rugby program at Howard University, a top U.S. historically black college or university, also known as the HBCU. Here, Rusike captains the only competitive HBCU women's rugby team, also known as the Herd. She says she also wanted to create a safe space for young black women to play and excel at the sport of rugby.
So growing up playing rugby in high school, I would oftentimes be the only black girl on my team, which was definitely an experience that I didn't always love. So when I had the opportunity to go to Howard on an academic scholarship, I knew that there was definitely like a gap to fill. And I didn't really understand as to why like there wasn't rugby at HBCUs.
Rusike's program is only 2 years old, but it's already made an impression on and off campus, including with this rugby player turned coach, Leandra Yates.
For me, I think the leadership that these ladies are showing within practice and even just as young women playing in the sport, it's huge. Like, they take to us very well, very respectful, and they're sponges in the game, and that's the only thing you ask for, especially being such an early program.
Last year, the Herd were undefeated in their division, and they outscored their opponents 211-30 on the season. But just like in any rugby match, victory is never a sure thing. This year, the team went to the CRAA National Championship, but they faced many challenges. First, they had to fundraise $25,000 to fund their team expenses. They then lost to California's Claremont University, 47-5. Rachel Bangasembo says a strong sense of unity and sisterhood helped the team face defeat, persevere, and try again.
While you're out, you're practicing and stuff, like, you know, you're not coming here to be just by yourself. You're coming here to play with other girls, so then you get that connection. It's like, I found my sisters here. Like,
Rusike says despite these setbacks, the Herd aims to win the CRAA Division I National Championship next season. And that's the Sunny Side of Sports, Jordan.
Let's go! And thanks to Jordan Smith for that profile of Tukunda Rusike. Jordan is a student at Howard University here in Washington, and he worked as an intern in our office the past few months.
VOA Africa is your trusted source for news, sports, entertainment, and music. Stay engaged with VOA Africa. We love to hear your voice. You can call us 24/7 on WhatsApp and leave a message, leave comments, requests, or greetings. We may play your message on VOA Africa. Dial the international code +1, then 202-258-3076. VOA Africa is always happy to hear your voice. The number again is the international code +1, then 202-258-3076.
The Confederation of African Football, CAF, has announced the top three nominees for all the categories for its CAF Awards 2023 ceremony on Monday, December 11th in Marrakesh, Morocco. Now, the big prize is the Men's Player of the Year Award. The three nominees are Mohamed Salah of Egypt and Liverpool, Ashraf Hakimi of Morocco and Paris Saint-Germain, and Victor Osimhen of Nigeria and Napoli. Salah is bidding for his third CAF Player of the Year trophy. He won previously in 2017 and 2018. Hakimi and Osimhen have never won the CAF award. For the Women's Player of the Year award, the three nominees are Asisat Ashola of Nigeria and Barcelona, Tembi Gatlana of South Africa and Racing Louisville, and Barbara Banda of Zambia and Shanghai Shengli. Ashola has dominated this women's award in recent years. She's won it 5 times. For the CAF Men's National Team of the Year, the three nominees are Morocco, Senegal, and Gambia. Morocco became the first African team in history to reach the semifinals at last year's World Cup in Qatar, while Senegal is the defending African champion heading into next month's Africa Cup of Nations tournament in Ivory Coast. And that wraps up the December 7th edition of the show. Thanks to producer Mukbil Yabaro. Thanks also to engineer Saida Hamdoun. And thank you for tuning in. I'm VOA's Sonny Young in Washington, and that's the Sunny Side of Sports.